I hope I'm quoting him right, but he said the biggest and nastiest or the baddest problem that we have in finance is transitioning from an accumulation mode into an income mode and not running out of money.
Becoming a millionaire isn't just about growing your money. It's also about protecting and preserving your wealth by using the right financial strategies for your situation. Welcome. This is Middle Class Millionaire with John Choi. John has his Master's of Science in Financial Services and is a certified financial planner and the president of Epiphany Capital.
Welcome into another edition of Middle Class Millionaire. Thanks for tuning into the podcast with John Choi and myself to talk about income planning this go around. You know, it's often said that if you don't have an income plan, you don't really have a retirement strategy. And so we're going to talk about that this week on the podcast with John, who is a certified financial planner and president at Epiphany Capital, serving you here in the Chicagoland area, but also all over the nation as well. And if you got some questions, need some help, always reach out to John at his website, johnchoi.net. That is John, C-H-O-I.net. If you've got some questions or concerns, get yourself onto his calendar and have a conversation. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast as well. John, what's going on, my friend? How are you this week?
Good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Hanging in there. Looking forward to chatting with you a little bit this week on the podcast. I mentioned that line about an income plan and not having, you know, if you don't have one, you don't have a retirement strategy. Do you agree with that statement? That's a pretty classic statement.
1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. Yeah. So when I see clients, and I see a lot of them during the year, and they come in and they just want to engage my services or looking to, when I ask them, show me your income plan, you know, where are you going to withdraw and in what year and how much from each account, they kind of give me a lost look. Yeah.
That's why I'm here to see you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so the first thing that we're going to do is, you know, get them an income plan, and it's going to list their accounts. It's going to list how much we're looking to withdraw and in what year. We're going to integrate that with Social Security, their pensions, any other sources of income. And then we're going to say, does that match up with your expenses? That's basically what it is.
Yeah. And do you find that people, I think what happens is most folks, we have a collection of stuff, right? I mean, we work and we have this collection of things, and we don't really understand how to turn that into income. So when people do walk in to see you for the first time, potential clients, how many of them actually, and again, just ballpark it for me, but how many of them actually understand that or even have an income plan? Like they know how to get this done, or is it truly just, here's my basket of stuff, John, help me?
I think it's more the latter. It's, here's my basket of stuff,
yeah.
Help me.
Yeah, I think that's the case.
And I forget who said this. It was, I think it was Bill Sharp, who is a Nobel Prize laureate in our industry. I hope I'm quoting him right, but he said the biggest and nastiest or the baddest problem that we have in finance is transitioning from a accumulation mode into an income mode and not running out of money. So
yeah,
when we're working, you know, we're working for our money, and then there's that transition, and we retire and our money has to work for us. So, you know, in our working years, our accumulation years, I call it going up the mountain, and then we come down the mountain, right?
Yeah.
When we're doing our spending phase. So there's a lot more, how would I say it? A lot more risks in the spending phase, in the withdrawal phase, than there are going up the mountain. Going up the mountain's fairly easy. You just sock money away.
Right. Yep.
There's no sequence of returns risk. There's no, you know, you have time to recover, so on and so forth. When you're coming down the mountain, sequence of returns risk, there's longevity risk, there's, you know, the market risks are magnified, there's long-term care things that you have to think about, you've got to integrate Social Security. There's so many things. Oh, and by the way, you got to do it all in a tax-efficient manner.
Right.
And
they work together. It's not just everything on an island.
If I turn one lever, it moves 14 other dials.
Exactly.
Right. So it's one of those like kid puzzles. I remember you move one thing and then 14 different things.
That's a good way of looking at it.
Right. Move. And that's what it is. So with respect to the tax planning, are you going to withdraw from your tax-free accounts first, your tax-deferred accounts, or your taxable accounts? I mean, which comes first? And then do you exhaust that? Do you, you know, then which account do you hit next? So, and then you've got to think, I can't make too much money because I'm going to be penalized by Medicare, because if I make too much money, then I have to pay an additional surtax on my Medicare B premiums. It's crazy how many different penalties or taxes there are if you're not careful.
Yeah.
So tax planning is big within that.
It's definitely a big puzzle, you know, and I agree with you 100%. If you're talking about that mountain analogy, I mean, I think, you know, I'm not 100% on the numbers, but more people, I believe, pass away on their way back down from climbing Mount Everest than they do going up it, right?
Yeah. And that's what I always say. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's because they think it's the same. They kind of let down their guard.
Yeah. Same right? trek. Yeah.
And they haven't really, they've planned for going up the mountain, but there is no planning for coming down the mountain. I mean, look at our industry. Look at the Wall Street giants, right,
mm-hmm.
of our industry. What do they focus on? Do they focus on making and growing money, or do they focus on a safe retirement withdrawal strategy?
Gee, I wonder. Yeah, definitely making the money, right? Growing the money.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that'll tell you something. That'll tell you something.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're marketing. No one markets the second half. It just doesn't happen.
Which is great. Right? I mean, I think we've gotten a little better at it because, you know, the boomer generation is so massive. But yeah, we're starting to see a move that way, and that's good, and it's a good thing. But it's definitely something that it's just, I don't know why. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know if it's just because it doesn't seem as lucrative or what, but there needs to be more education. And you and I talked about that on the first podcast, just the financial education in general, not only from our youth, but also even for our elderly. You know, I mean, I'm 51 and I've been doing this for a couple of years. And I most of the stuff I've just been learning the last couple of years just from talking to guys like yourself, you know, and gals. So it's, yeah, there's definitely lack of education and support.
Yes. And you hit the nail on the head when you said, is there no money in it? The money's made on the going up the mountain side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no question about it. Coming down the mountain, I mean, thinking about it, you're spending down your assets. And if we're charging a percent on the amount of money we manage, and that's going down every year, we're working kind of for less and less fees every year, right?
Right.
So I think the money that's definitely part of that equation.
Well, and I think, you know, a lot of folks, you've got to want to help. You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, just what it means to kind of, you know, be in this industry and so on and so forth. And I think, you know, you got to want to help people, right? You got to want to see people, because I imagine a great moment in your day or in your week or however it kind of lays out is when people, you named your company Epiphany Capital, whenever you're able to show someone they can retire safely or comfortably and they have that light bulb moment, and that's got to be a great feeling because they're just like, oh, yes. And, you know, and then now you feel good because you've helped show them the way.
All right. So I'll tell you a quick story.
Sure.
There was a client that came in, a husband and wife. I just call them a client. So they said that they needed a certain amount of income, and I forget the actual numbers. So let's just call it $100,000.
Okay.
And between the two of them, they were bringing in about $50,000 in Social Security. So there was a $50,000 gap between what they were bringing in and what they needed. And I asked them, and this is the most conservative approach, I asked them, how much of that $50,000 gap would you want guaranteed? And them being very conservative, they said, all of it. I said, okay. So when you tell me you want $50,000 guaranteed for the rest of your lives, you paint me into a corner. I've got to use this one special tool. And in order for me to fund a $50,000 shortfall, it takes, I forget what the number was, it's probably like $700,000. That will buy you a quote-unquote personal pension. And I said, you know, the other $800,000, you don't have to touch it. We can just put it in the market, let it grow. We never have to withdraw from it, never have to touch it in a down market. We'll never lose money by selling low mm-hmm. or selling when the market's down. And, you know, the husband's kind of nodding his head, yes. The wife is trying not to smile.
Okay.
And I said, it's okay to smile because you've already won the game.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got all the income that you want. and you've got $800,000 working in the market for inflation, for one-time purchases, so on and so forth. You know, that's going to double at 7.2%. That doubles in 10 years, right? And you still have that paycheck. So the point that I'm trying to drive home is that retirement planning is paycheck planning. It's income planning.
Yeah.
It's not about the assets. It's about the income.
Well, so, yeah, the number thing, right? So a lot of people will say, I've got to get to a certain number to retire. And many advisors would say, yourself included, it sounds like, no, we got to get the income you need. It's not about some magical or arbitrary number. It's about what do you need, you know, to paycheck replacement.
Yeah. I mean, if I had a pension that paid me $100,000 a month, does it matter that I have a dollar in the bank or $500,000 in the bank?
Right, right.
It doesn't matter. I have my paychecks.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Why do you think we're so unprepared in this arena, John? If we're talking about income planning, you and I briefly talked on the prior podcast and just in between when we were chatting a little bit. You know, obviously lack of financial education for sure, but I think that most of us, we are kind of taught the traditionalism is get a job, go to work, pump it into the 401k, and when you get older, you'll be in a lower tax bracket, and boom, there you go, that's it. Nothing else to really think about. Is that why maybe we're so underserved, because it's just such a low baseline level and there's so much more, as you've kind of already alluded to, or what's your thoughts?
Well, I think it is lack of education, but that's not the entire problem. It's and when I say lack of education, let me step back. People are not dumb, okay? It's just that our society and our educational system, for some reason, it's crazy, but for some reason, they don't teach this basic stuff in high school and in college.
And finance. Oh, for sure. Like I said, I'm 51. I remember we had like an hour-long class about how to write a check, and I think that was it.
Right. I don't know if my kids know how to write a check, and they're in high school.
Yeah.
So, and shame on me. But they're like, what do we need a check for? You know, we got our debit card.
We got
card,
a card. So. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I guess I showed my age there, right? But
yeah. So, you know, there's this, you know, lack of awareness, number one. And number two, we are still using, the majority of my peers, for better or for worse, we are still using your grandfather's investments, which are stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. And that's really the big universe of most of my, again, most of my peers. Let's take a look at where they work for. They work for big Wall Street companies. They work for regional brokerage firms. When you look at brokerage firms, their main sales tool are mutual funds or some sort of a platform that uses a combination of stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's it. They don't really look at outside of that. They don't look at using cash as an asset. They don't look at using annuities, for example. And I can go on and on about annuities. There are so many different flavors of annuities. There's some really bad ones. There's some awesome ones. So, but they're not digging, and yeah, nor does their company that they work for want them to dig. They want them to sell what they tell them to sell. And that's, again, stocks, bonds, mutual funds. That's it.
Yeah, and I think right now, the time period that we're launching this and we're doing our initial podcast here, obviously there's a ton going on in the financial world. The markets are just taking a beating. The bond market is down. You know, there's just a ton of stuff going on there. You mentioned annuities. Typically in this kind of time period, we start seeing more and more of those sales kind of coming up, kind of a push to go that route. And I'm with you. You know, financial products, there's good ones, there's bad ones. It's about what you need, how you need it, and how it's being, you know, used properly and also explained properly. And I think that's one of the points of the podcast that we're going to continue to do, is hopefully try to explain some things and bring some education to realize that, you know, there's different tools out there. It's finding the right tool for the right time of life.
And for the right person and for the right risk tolerance.
There you go.
These are just tools. I mean, I'm agnostic on which one you use. Trust me, I'm not throwing the stock market and mutual funds. I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm just saying that we want to consider all of our options,
sure,
not just
yeah,
stocks, bonds, and mutual funds.
Right.
There are other things out there. And it's the people that, you know, I think it's interesting. The people, so I work on both the, you know, investment side and the insurance or annuity and life insurance side. I do both, okay? And I find it interesting when I go to these conferences for the investment folks, they poo-poo the insurance stuff. And when I go to the insurance
right,
conferences,
right,
they poo-poo the investment guys. So there's nobody that's, I don't want to say nobody, right? But there are very few of us that I say that we're bilingual. We speak both investments and insurance fluently.
Yeah. That's a great point. You know, you think that's our society in general right now, right? It's like it's always one against the other of some
type. Polarized, yeah.
Yeah, it's everything's so polarized. Obviously, politics is one, but I mean, you can find it in anything, right? You can find it in your sports franchises. You can find it in your favorite movies. You can find, you know, whatever it might be. As I'm a musician, you know, so there's like, you know, oh, well, rock is the best. And somebody says, no, rock is terrible. It's all about jazz, right? So, yeah, someone's always kind of poo-pooing the other side, right?
Yeah. No, but, you know, here's the thing is, what bothers me is everyone, not again, I have to be careful when I say everyone. There are folks out there, again, my peers, that say they are holistic planners. And I say, well, but you only do insurance or you only do investments.
Yeah.
That's not holistic.
No.
Holistic is blending both. So I don't think you can really call yourself a holistic planner unless you're really actively doing both.
Yeah. Well, and as a CFP, a certified financial planner, obviously, as you said, you can delve in both sides of the arena, both sides of those worlds. So again, income planning, that's going to be, you know, obviously going to be always the big focus when getting something together. That's going to do it for the podcast this week. But wanted to make sure we had a conversation around this crucial piece to the financial puzzle. There's tons more, as John mentioned, Social Security maximization and income and expense analysis, inflation. Obviously, inflation's a big deal right now. The spousal plan, the longevity. And we're going to get into all of those things as we do more and more episodes here of Middle Class Millionaire with John Choi. So again, folks, if you got questions, need some help, reach out to John. Find him online at johnchoi.net. That's johnchoi.net. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, whatever platform you like to use. You'll be able to find us there. It's Middle Class Millionaire. And John, thanks for your time, my friend, hanging out with me and chatting. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. It was fun.
Absolutely. And we'll see you next time here on the podcast. Don't forget to stop by the website, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'll see you next time here on Middle Class Millionaire with John Choi.
Epiphany Capital is a registered investment advisor, RIA, located in the state of Illinois. Epiphany Capital provides investment advisory and related services for clients nationally. Epiphany Capital will maintain all applicable registration and licenses as required by various states in which Epiphany Capital conducts business, as applicable. Epiphany Capital renders individualized responses to persons in a particular state only after complying with all regulatory requirements or pursuant to an applicable state exemption or exclusion.